بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن عبد الله بن عباس وعمران بن الحسين رضي الله عنهم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اطلعت في الجنة فرأيت أكثر أهلها الفقراء، واطلعت في النار فرأيت أكثر أهلها النساء. متفق عليه من رواية ابن عباس، ورواه البخاري أيضا من رواية عمران بن الحسين رضي الله تعالى عنهم. عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما and عمران بن حسين رضي الله تعالى عنهم. This hadith is narrated by two Sahaba. They narrate from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اطلعت في الجنة. I glanced into Jannah. This glancing or looking into Jannah could either refer to on the occasion of Mi'raj, or we find it's a lengthy incident, we're not going to go into the detail, but on the occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Salatul Kusuf, that is at the solar or lunar eclipse, at that time also there is an incident where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the veil or the curtain of Akhirat was dropped, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw directly into Jannah. Whether it was Mi'raj, whether it was on that occasion, or whether it was on some other occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I glanced into Jannah and I saw that majority of the residents of Jannah were the fuqara, were the poor. The first part of this hadith, as we mentioned yesterday, it does not mean that poverty on its own was the reason for majority of the residents of Jannah being the poor, but rather that piety and patience that are normally qualities which are more easily accessible to those who are deprived of material wealth, status and position in this world. Also humility, etc. Because these are the sifat and attributes of those who please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are more likely to be found amongst the poor. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I saw the majority of the residents of paradise were the poor, the fuqara. Also very important, both when it comes to both aspects of this hadith, this is the first aspect, is that as we have mentioned previously, that when we listen to the exhortations of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should ask ourselves that why is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us this? What is the reason? What is the lesson, the sabak that we are supposed to learn? Ulama ikram explain in this particular hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I glanced into Jannah and I saw the majority of the people of Jannah were the fuqara, the poor. Does it mean that now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us become poor? Doesn't mean that. What it means, ulama ikram explain, is the apparent meaning of the hadith is the exhortation to resist temptation of constant expansion in dunya. This is a challenge that faces us almost on a daily basis. That we are supposed to be content, have qanaat, content with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has apportioned or given us in this dunya. And it is part of our iman, our aqidah, that whatever we have of this world is already ordained. No matter how much effort you made, no matter how much you chase behind the dunya, it's not going to increase. What Allah has written for you is ordained. That which is supposed to come to you will definitely come to you, and that which missed you was never ever going to come to you. This is part of our iman, our aqidah. So these aspects of sharia, by us entrenching our conviction, our belief in them, then it enables us to resist the temptation of constantly hankering and running behind the dunya. It is not poverty itself, but it is the contentment that is in the poor. It's the piety in the poor. It's the lack of worldly desire that is found in the poor. It is the humility of the poor. So if these same qualities are in the rich, then the rich also will become the people of Jannah. So it is important for us to imbibe and inculcate these qualities, and particularly resist the temptation of constant expansion in dunya. All the time we want to expand and expand and expand. And what happens is we forget our akhirat. That time which Allah has given us, which is an amanat, which we are supposed to use to earn our akhirat, this time gets utilized in chasing behind the dunya. So this is the meaning of this hadith, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is exhorting us. On the other hand, the second part of the hadith, like I said, narrated by two sahaba, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma and Imran bin Hussein radiallahu anhu, وَاتَّلَعْتُ فِي النَّارِ Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I glanced into Jahannam, فَرَأَيْتُ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِهَا النِّسَاءِ And I saw that majority of the residents of Jahannam, of hellfire, were women. We find that when it comes to this aspect, we have to bear in mind, first of all, does it mean that literally this, that majority of the residents of hellfire will be women? Why is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us this? For this we see other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned certain qualities that generally are inherent in women. And these are qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greatly dislikes. So in order to caution the women of the ummah, this is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying this. We should bear in mind that there were many, many eminent sahaba such as Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and others that felt that majority of the residents of Jannah also will be women. If we look at the distribution of men and women in Jannah, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and others felt that in Jannah also, majority of the residents of Jannah will be women. And this is supported by one or two ahadith we find in Muslim Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us the description of the lowest person in Jannah, the last person to enter into Jannah. In that hadith, there is one expression where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Thumma yadkhulu alayhi zawjata." Thumma yadkhulu alayhi zawjata. That the last person to enter into Jannah, Allah Ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that two of his wives, in other words, from the women of dunya, two of his wives will enter with him. And we find in the riwayat of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, فَدَخَلَ الرَّجُلُ عَلَىٰ ثِنْتَيْنِ وَسَبْعِينَ زَوْجَةً That a man will be given 72 wives in Jannah. مِمَّا يُنْشِئُ اللَّهُ زَوْجَتَيْنِ مِنْ وُلْدِ آدَمْ فَدَخَلَ الرَّجُلُ عَلَىٰ ثِنْتَيْنِ وَسَبْعِينَ زَوْجَةً مِمَّا يُنْشِئُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى Allah Ta'ala will create for a man 72 wives in Jannah. 70 will be from the Hura'een, that is the maidens of Jannah. وَزَوْجَتَيْنِ مِنْ وُلْدِ آدَمْ And two will be from وُلْدِ آدَمْ In other words, from the progeny of man. In other words, نِسَاءُ الدُّنْيَا The women of dunya. So in both these riwayat, if a Jannati is going to have two wives from the women of dunya, then what does that literally mean? That the number of women will be double than the number of men in Jannah. Because how is it possible for a person to have two wives from the women of dunya unless each male has two spouses? So the number of women is double the number of men. So what is the correlation between these ahadith and this hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, اِتَّلَعْتُ فِي النَّارِ I looked into Jahannam, فَرَأَيْتُ أَكْثَرَ أَهْلِيَ النِّسَاءِ And I saw the majority of the residents of Jahannam were women. One answer that ulama ikram give to this is that this does not mean that women won't be the majority in both places. Maybe women will be extra in Jahannam and in Jannat. Another explanation which ulama ikram give and which was preferred by Hazrat Shaykh Muna Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali is that this sighting of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam possibly refers to the early stages. And then we find that خروج العصات من النار بالشفاعة that the sinners after that will come out of Jahannam through the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intercession directly also, through the intercession of the pious, etc. So it could mean in the early stages, the women were extra, and thereafter the number of women diminished or reduced in Jahannam. The important point for us to learn, like we mentioned with the first part of the hadith, is why is Rasulullah ﷺ saying this to the women of the ummah? That majority of the residents of hellfire will be women, in order for them to become specially careful, to stay away from those qualities which are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will possibly cause them to go into Jahannam. Qualities, negative qualities that, unless the spiritual malady is addressed, are more prevalent in women than in men. And what are these qualities? We find in other hadith, from other narrations we learn, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya ma'ashara nisa tasaddaqna, fa'inni uritukunna akthar ahlin nar. He said, O assembly of women, give sadaqah, give charity, because I have noticed that majority of the residents of hellfire are women. So Rasulullah, so they asked that, Ya Rasulullah, why is it? He said, because there are two qualities in you. The one quality that is found, Rasulullah said, yukthirna lan, excessive cursing. Women generally have a tendency, very quickly when they become angry, to start cursing. Yukthirna lan, to curse excessively, this is something that is greatly disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned women that it is because of this quality that many of you, if you do not make tawbah, will end up into Jahannam. Allah protect us. Now we find that when it comes to this quality of cursing, more often than not, we harm ourselves also. This is the tragedy of it. There are certain moments, certain times, when no matter what dua a person makes, that dua is accepted. Sometimes a woman becomes angry either at her husband or at her children more often than not. And in that burst of anger, without realizing what she says, sometimes she invokes the curses or wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that individual. And it is the time for the acceptance of dua. And we find that that dua is accepted, like the dua of a mother for her child is very readily accepted. So sometimes if she makes bad dua, that will fall on the child, and there is no one that is hurt more than the mother after that, when she sees her child suffering or going through difficulty and hardship. And sometimes it is because we invoked that particular condition on that individual. This is why we have to be very, very careful. And unfortunately nowadays, men are going in the direction of women. Before it used to be women that used to curse unnecessarily. Nowadays we find that men are cursing. A lot of the qualities, negative qualities that are found in women have imbibed themselves into men. So we should, it's not only a warning for women, it's a warning across the board. Yukthirna lan, that be careful. When you become angry particularly, don't lose control of your emotions. Try and sew up this mouth. At the time of anger, nothing good will come out. Nothing good will come out. If you want to make tarbiyat, if you want to nurture somebody, if you want to guide somebody, particularly those who are your subordinates, whether it's your wife, whether it's your children, other way around, whatever it is. If you want to guide somebody, if you want to make their deeni tarbiyat, the time for it is not when you are angry. When you are angry, what is the shari hukam? Shari hukam, if you are standing, sit down. If you are sitting, now lie down. Anger is associated with heat, with fire. Go and make wudu. Cool down that anger. We find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are taught that if a person leans towards excessive anger, this burns away the good deeds. It destroys the good deeds. So at the time of anger, that is not the time to try and make anybody's tarbiyah. That is the time to cool down. And very, very important at the time of anger is to control this tongue. Try and say nothing. The moment you are angry, close your mouth. Because once you utter something or say something, to take it back is very, very difficult. And more often than not, if you give in to your anger, you are going to say or do something that inevitably you are going to regret. So Islam teaches us that is not the time to be doing or saying anything. That is the time to control. لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ Rasulullah said, the strong man is not the one who can wrestle the next person. He said, إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. He said, the strong person of my ummah is the one who at the time of anger can control his nafs. Control yourself. If you want to guide your child and made you upset, or something else irritated you, upset you, and you want to address that problem, address it afterwards. Address it after you have cooled down. Address it with a clear mind. Address it with where you understand the ramifications and you keep in mind the future consequences of what you are about to do. And that cannot be done at the time of anger when you have